The internet can make the world more accessible for people with disabilities if they have access to the internet. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Earlier this week, Vice President Kamala Harris was in South Carolina touting the administration's push to expand affordable high-speed internet there with programs funded by the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Tens of millions of Americans still don't have access to broadband internet, and the problem is particularly acute for people with disabilities, according to recent research from the Urban Institute. Senior fellow John Schwabisch co-authored that report and found areas with the highest share of residents claiming disability insurance were also lagging in internet access.
We expected that our finding would just reflect what we kind of all know, that rural areas of the country tend to have less access or lower speeds on the internet than non-rural counties. And yet what we found was that the difference between counties that have higher rates of disability insurance receipt and counties that have lower percentages of people who have disability receipt, the gap between the broadband access between those two types of counties was 2.2 percentage points. And we thought that would drive everything. But actually, we also find in non-rural counties that there's a gap between counties that have high disability receipt and lower disability receipt. And that gap, a little bit smaller, is about 1.2 percentage points, but still significant, and significant enough that this rural-urban broadband gap is not what drove the whole thing. There's something else going on. And so what we're trying to better understand is whether the move, the evolution towards an online system, is making it more and more difficult for people with disabilities to find and obtain the services that they need to support them in their daily living.
Do you have any theories about what might account for that gap?
We think part of it might have to do, certainly with infrastructure. We think it may happen to do with differences in income and income inequality. It may have to do with access to other types of services and other types of infrastructure that people with disabilities simply don't have or don't have access to. But it's something that we are exploring in more detail because we know that broadband and internet access is so important for all of our daily lives that when a person or a community or a group of people don't have access to the internet, those folks are being left behind.
The bipartisan infrastructure bill set aside $65 billion to expand broadband access. How could this change things?
It's going to change things. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're talking about millions of people who do not have sufficient access to the internet. So the FCC estimates that in 2020, 23 million Americans do not have access to any internet service providers offering 100 megabytes per second. So if you think about trying to watch your favorite Netflix show or your favorite show on Disney Plus, 23 million Americans do not have the basic bandwidth that would enable them to clearly stream those shows. So, you know, a part of the question here is the equity concerns. Where are the broadband lines going to be laid? How fast are they going to be laid? What areas of the country are going to be prioritized? And how is that going to impact, in particular for the disability program, who applies and how fast and when?
What about the promise of something like satellite internet? Because a lot of the physical broadband challenge is that it just takes so much physical infrastructure that costs a lot to lay down in rural areas where there are fewer people to serve.
I mean, I think all of these technologies enable us to see and test and experiment with providing benefits and providing access points to people who need them. Now, the question, of course, is, does a satellite internet provider, does that enable people to have faster access through their computers? Does it enable them to have faster access through their phones? And what are the implications for price? Because another thing that's underlying all this are the price differences across different parts of the country. And a lot of that is competition. How many service providers do you get to choose from or choose between when you are choosing your mobile cell phone plan, when you're choosing your connection in your home? And so what are the price implications and the price ramifications of having these different technologies? And again, because we know that there is significant income inequality between people with disabilities and people without disabilities, how are governments, how are public policies going to be put into place to assist those folks at most need?
What's really at stake here for the populations that you studied?
What I think many of us take for granted is our daily access to the internet, our daily high-speed access to the internet. We're leaving a group of people who, in some ways, are at most need of being able to apply for and receive these benefits. We are leaving behind their ability to talk to their doctors or use certain other health-related technologies like blood pressure monitors that can be monitored remotely, telehealth visits. How do we provide these benefits, provide these services in an equitable way to all Americans, not just those living in one particular part of the country, one particular socioeconomic status?
John Schwabisch is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute. And now for some related links. You can find the full working paper from the Urban Institute at our website, marketplacetech.org. And besides access to high-speed internet, we've covered a number of other ways that the increasing digitization of everything can present unique challenges for people with disabilities. A couple of years ago, I spoke to Virginia Eubanks, a political science professor and author of the book Automating Inequality, about how a newly introduced government app intended to make it easier to track home health care aides under Medicare wasn't exactly working as hoped, and in fact was causing big problems for many folks who rely on home health care aides. One of her sources said the issues reflected a lack of input from people with disabilities and what they need from these tools. And last year, Kimberly Adams interviewed Josh Basile at tech accessibility company Accessibee about his experience using assistive devices to navigate Cyber Monday sales. He pointed out that so many retailers are still missing basic accessibility features that make them usable for people with limited mobility or visual impairments, even if they do have access to high-speed internet in the first place. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.